Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to WBSW Internet Radio. I am the host with the most, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, a.k.a. Dr. Low, a.k.a. Coach Low, a.k.a. Love Guru, the host that make it do what it do. WBSW Internet Radio has listeners and watchers in 18 countries. Without further ado, Dr. Low, make it do what it do.
Too cold, and don't get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fight is coming bright, and we can.
You to be a part of this show. Again, I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You, Rhyme Time. It's just talk about plain old life issues. That's what the brand of the show is. It's all about making sure we share our thoughts, making sure we share our ideals, making sure we just share what we think relates to the topics and the titles that we have. But we also want you to be a part of it by calling in. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 and I'll make sure I get you on the line so I can hear what you have to say. By calling out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, ask for your location. You want to give your name? That's fine. And offer your comments, your expertise, or ask your questions. We also want to check you out on the web link. You can go to the web link and be a part of. We're going to be teamed up on the web link. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. And if you want to email the show, you have that same opportunity. That's WBSW Internet Talk Radio with the number 22@gmail.com. We also have that opportunity to get on Twitter. So we're on Twitter as well, so you can check us out on Twitter. You can tweet the show at Talking Real to You, at WBSW_Internet_Talk_Radio. At Lorenza D. Smith 15, at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith, at Dr. Lorenza Smith with the number 1, and finally that's at the Smith Way Production. Also, we're excited to be partners with this awesome fraternity, part of that blue and white family called Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, and the sisters of the brothers of the beautiful and the fine ladies of the finer womanhood, none other lady of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. But we're partnered with Zeta Phi Sigma Gleeful. That's a chapter with the number 10. And we're on Instagram. We try to spew out some things to you. We try to get some things to you. We try to make sure it do what it's supposed to do. See, God is so good, he blesses us one more time to come before you. And we give him the praise. And that's what it's all about, giving him the praise, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. We made it through the weekend where we had a chance to come before you today on what we call Make It Do What It Do Monday. So we're real excited about that. Also, on Instagram, we're also being broadcast on Coach Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith 15. And we also have an opportunity to share our information on Lorenzo D. Smith 15. We just want you to understand that this show is brought to you because it was a vessel that God saw that needs to happen. He gave it in a vision in 2017. So we're excited to have the 454th episode. And I'm excited about it because I know how the start was. We started with one show. Now we have nine shows. See, that's how God can work with you. You got to trust and believe him. And this is the time of the year if you want to get right, because it's a holiday season. It's the season that what God just has his hands on this season. Because truly, truly, if you can remember, think back. You know, think back that when God blessed us with his only begotten son on December the 25th. Come on, that's our Lord and Savior. So it's a special time of the year. So get excited by having the opportunity to share some thoughts. I want you to keep in mind that we're being broadcast and aired later on through all the man episodes. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus. You also can check us out on LinkedIn, as well as Tumblr. And we have our YouTube channel, which is the Smith Way Production. And I tell you, I'm excited about what happened last week. See, God bless us. He said we can't live in the past, but you can take what happened last week to propel you into what we are today. So instead of us singing, that we're being broadcast, or more or less have watchers and listeners in 18 countries, we now have the addition of Germany, so we have 19 countries that have an opportunity to check us out on WBSW Internet Talk Radio. So we're real excited. We want to truly, truly let you know that we're broadcasting in the United States, and we're excited about that opportunity. And do we expand beyond the borders to the north, and we're up there in Canada. And we're excited about being south of the borders in Mexico. So we just jumping around with joy because that's what God has allowed us to do during this holiday season. Now, this is my time of the year, and truly I have no problem saying that because God has blessed me to be a part of an awesome family that we spent time together, sometime on travels, but we was always together, and that's what it's all about. Because your foundational principle is important to where you need to go, where you need to be. Without further ado, I want to introduce those individuals as they join. But however, I want to call out their names, and I'll make sure I give the one co-host that's joining us right now an opportunity to share some thoughts by saying hello to you. Then we'll make this thing do what it's supposed to do. Oh, it's all about giving a shout out to this young lady. She hails from Central Alabama. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, none other than Miss Lauren D. Smith. We're also out of the state of Georgia. We have a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. That's Dr. Olivia E. Smith. Then out of the great state of Florida, at the southern tip of the peninsula of Florida, you have the young lady who's a yoga specialist. She's also worked with individuals through mental health, none other than Lisa Levine. Here we have a young lady from all the way on the West Coast. I call her the lady that put the boots on the ground. She's out there all the time trying to change the lives of the individuals who might be caught in the street, have nowhere else to go. Owning my own truth, talking about behavior, working with health, none other than Tina Robinson. And this last young lady, she's a former educator. She hails from that great state of South Carolina. She's also in that field of education, she's served as a counselor. She has served as an administrator. She has served as just the children parents. Truly, truly, when you're in education and you're serving in a capacity as a teacher, a counselor, a administrator, or whatever, you're a children parent. And that's what it's all about. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, none other than Sara Scarlet H. Black. How you doing, Sara?
I am doing fine, my brother. How are you tonight? You about preaching tonight. Got me all hyped up. That's the thing, to really get it hyped up, and you do a great job of that. We're so glad to have our listening audience with us all. We've got truly wonderful people in 19 countries now that are tuning in and joining us, and we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. We'd like to thank our brothers in Greenville, Alabama, for their support and sponsorship of this show, and all the others who give tribute week after week, and all the shows that you do each week. That's almost like a full-time job, Doc.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, God bless me every day to kind of, when I wake up, I get excited because I know there's a show or I know it's something I have to do, but it's through his blessing.
Right. Well, I think it's been a blessing to start with one show, then two, and now to nine. That is truly, truly God's sin. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Carla. It's good to have you on here, and hopefully the others get a chance to join us, and hope Lisa get a chance. I know she said she's doing a lot of movement, trying to get everything straight, and she's going to do her best to try to get on. She did try two previous times, but we couldn't get our connection, but I made sure the connection was right tonight. I wanted to make sure
we did, because, two times in a row, we couldn't get on at all.
Exactly. America is on the combat. Part three. We talked about one. We talked about two. Meaning I talked about it, but my team couldn't jump in, but they got a chance to jump in tonight. I want to do this before we move to addressing one of our first topics on America is on the Comeback Part 3. I want to give a shout out to all of those individuals, our watchers and listeners who's checking it out on Facebook, Instagram. As I said earlier about the two Instagram account that's operating at this time. I want to give a shout out to Miss Bush, EDS, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Sara Bush, thank you for joining. A shout out to Trade underscore with underscore Patricia underscore Roberts 8900. Thank you so much. And a shout out to Anthony Rudolph on Facebook. And that's facebook.com/DRLDalberto Smith. Anthony was one of my students down at McKenzie when I first started off in the educational field. It's been many blue moons ago. He's not the only one. I have many other former students that's on here from time to time. So Big Ann over there in Mississippi, he's living in Mississippi now. Thank you so much, Big Ann. But do we call him Big Ann? Because he played football and basketball, so he was not a small man. He was a big man in stature. And we call him that. And Anthony, thank you so much for joining. A shout out to it is Shanice Ham Leonard, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you, Shanice, for joining us. From the time you're here, we appreciate it. And another one of those young men from over there. In that place called McKenzie, Alabama, none other than Robert Ball. Robert was a couple years ahead of me. I got there, but he's still, and I appreciate him for doing that. We have Miss Mel 329 joining us as well. So those are the individuals joining us so far. We got several people that's on the board for Blog Talk Radio. And we want you to be a part of it. And we get the call-in number so you can. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line so you can chat with us by calling out the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then it's the single ask for your location. And then you can offer your comments, your questions, your expertise, or just chat with Sara Lorenzo D. Smith. We look forward to it. Scarlett, let's get this thing started up. America's on the Comeback, Part 3.
Yeah.
And I put some things down on the social issues because they begin to be talked about. And that first, discussion we want to look at. Discuss should unvaccinated people be required to pay hospital bills related to COVID-19? Want to have your thoughts on that, and I'm going to jump right in. And before I do that, Scarlett, hold up. Golly, I just saw our good friend Lisa. She came on and talked to us. Hey, soon as she get it back, she hug up. Tell her, we all good tonight, Lisa. Check us out.
Yeah, we're pretty good tonight.
We're happy back in. And while she's trying to get herself back on, we want to look at whether or not those people unvaccinated should be required to pay the hospital bills related to COVID-19. I just want to get your thoughts on that, Scarlett.
Yes, and I think that at first I think there was some federal funds or whatever going into, you know, paying or help paying those hospital bills in some places. I don't know if this was all over America or not, but now I think the bills are being passed on to the patients or their families, you know, for that. Because it is, you know, having COVID and going through the process is extremely expensive, you know, especially with the ventilators. If you have to go on a ventilator, and then the number of days that you're in the hospital, depending on the severity of COVID and how that person is affected by it, it's a very debilitating illness. And even after, for those who have survived and recovered, they're still having residual effects of the virus. So this is not a cheap proposition at all. And I know that I've read accounts of folks who've gotten these humongous bills and do not know how in the world they're going to pay them, because they're up into the thousands of dollars. Being sick anytime in your life and being ill is not a cheap proposition. You know, and those that may have insurance that may cover some things, and there are a lot of folks, still millions of people, who do not have adequate insurance or no insurance at all. And so something like this, where you can do everything you can to prevent having the virus or prevent the severity of the virus with the vaccines, because the vaccines are not going to cure anything. It doesn't cure the virus, but it helps you to combat the severity of what the virus could do to you. And so if you are not covered or have little coverage, you know, you could be stuck with, you know, some real high medical bills. And medical costs in America is not cheap for anyone. We all know that. And for those that do not have the means and the resources, it can be, you know, a gut-wrenching financial responsibility and financial bills that you have to pay. And people have lost jobs, people have lost homes, people have lost a lot of things in trying to navigate through this virus and the results of it.
And that's awesome. I'm glad you shared that, Scott. The only thing I have the big concern is the next time, is it going to be with people with AIDS? Is it going to be people who have this? I just think we are a welfare country. We truly understand it. And regardless of what we think that we should do, I just think we should make sure we take care of our people. And health insurance is the key to it. See, you said something that was so important, health insurance. Okay, now you said, what about people who don't have health insurance? But the individuals have an opportunity to apply through our government, which is Medicaid. Have an opportunity. If you're above 65 and over, you have an opportunity for Medicare. But you also have health care, which is an opportunity for you to have health insurance. Now, I would have a problem if you said the insurance wouldn't be able to pay it because you did take the vaccination, more or less. But if you have insurance, and whether it's whatever form of insurance it is, I truly believe it has to be available. Because we're talking about 70 and 80 million people, and that whether we agree with them, and we should make it where it's a sense of political, which is sometimes posturing and sometimes not. I just think that the same opportunity should be given to those individuals, whether it's next time it might be AIDS, next time it may be cancer, next time it may be something else. It's going to say, okay, you can't get it before, you wouldn't do this, you wouldn't do that. I just think we need to make sure we kind of tread easy on this situation, not get to the point where a lot of times we force people out of situations. You know, we talk about, I was listening to an article the other day, Scarlett, about people because of the pandemic was not going and getting their regular treatment for cancer. Now they're going.
AIDS is on the rise again, too. I read an article about that, too.
They end up now and got to stage four because of the fear. So I got to get off this political thing and consider we're still a welfare nation. We take care of our people the best we can. And even if that whatever choice they make, that's just like a person homeless, don't, you know, out in the street and may contract it, may not feel comfortable. Okay, now you're supposed to die. You know, we have to be very careful. That's just my opinion about it. We have to be very careful. It's two sides to a story, and it's somewhere in the middle that we have to operate. I truly believe that we have to be a little bit more careful about how we do our individuals, do our people, because there are opportunities. Let's introduce them to health care, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's Biden care, whatever. Let's make sure they get that. And have something and make sure that cover whatever the health issues are, because sometimes it does not cover all of the health issues that, but it's probably pre-existing condition. That was a big fight anyway, that people who had pre-existing conditions could not get insurance. And now we want to make sure they have the insurance. Let me get your final thoughts on that, Scarlett.
Well, I think that the bill that's in Congress now, that they're trying to get this second infrastructure, is supposed to address a lot of the stuff that we're talking about right now, supposed to address, you know, quite a bit of it. And also trying to make sure that people understand that COVID has been an economic challenge, you know, which includes the healthcare part of that. And I think that that's the big push he's trying to do now is to get some of this funding. But the thing is, when the funds come out, and we've talked about this before on this show too, the distribution of the funding can be the problem, where some people seem to have, you know, the inside track right away, and others, like the ones we're talking about, those who really, you know, would have difficulty with any type of health challenge. In addition to this one, you know, can they get the inside track to have to apply and how to get this funding? You know, you still got people still trying to get the funding from all the stimulus money that came out, because, you know, other people, like, again, you know, seem to have, you know, were able to jump right on it. And money that comes to certain places in certain states, you know, for some reason it was a slow walk, you know. So I think with all of this, it's going to, you know, the politics is in it now. We're too far gone now. You know, it's been in it for quite a while, yep. And still in it. A lot of disinformation still going out and telling people not to apply for this, and that you're going to be messed up if you do this, if you do that, you know. And the only thing I can say is that, you know, we talk about, you know, getting quality people in place in our communities who can really be straight with folks and give them the honest information and not disinformation. But for those who choose to listen to disinformation, regardless of what all you do and what all you believe and think and should be done and could be done, hasn't been done, needs to be done, all them duns, you know, if they're going to listen to the disinformation, what else can you do? You know, you keep trying to put the right thing out there. But even on a good day, and we talked about a lot of things before pre-pandemic, a lot of folks were already in trouble, you know, especially with cancer, diagnosis, diabetes. Diabetes medication is all off the chain. I mean, you know, you can go to other countries. And I think that the current president is trying to get agreements with Canada where the drug companies need to start competing and letting Medicare negotiate the prices of all these medications and drugs. You know, somebody, you know, could be ruined financially just from taking diabetes medication. It is so high. You know, you're talking about, you know, some people are like $1,000 or something a month. Can you imagine?
I can. Honestly, I can.
You know, because yeah. I know what's coming out of here. You know what I'm saying? My husband with the type 2 diabetes, but it's extremely expensive. And then, you know, cancer medications where if someone wants to do something, you got to go into like a trial situation or whatever in order to try to survive the challenge of trying to even just survive that. So it's just a lot that the wealthiest country in the world, on the planet, on the globe, you know, and we're still fighting to have free and public, you know, health care for all of its citizens. We're the wealthiest country in the world. We can send all these billionaires to space. Can't we not do something about our drug prices to keep people alive and healthy? And the pandemic, because a lot of people are going to be having, still got challenges after the pandemic, after they've gotten, you know, survived COVID. It's a problem for quite a few people.
Exactly. And it's important, Scholar, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. We want to give a shout out to Regina Hill that's joining us on our Facebook account. Thank you so much for taking time. And this is something we need to be aware of. And as Scarlett asked about, can it be and how expensive? I know dealing with family members that and looking at the little bit amount of money they had and trying to deal with this and sometimes not getting the government support like they should be because you don't know. But sometimes we have to continue to research. We have to continue to grind and don't give up. And find it out. Now, we want you to be a part of this show. We want you to call in. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, ask your location, then ask you to join us with your whatever your question, your comment, or your expertise is. Let's move to the next topic that falls on a social issue because, Scarlett, you and I both had an opportunity to be in our school systems. And the next topic is discuss how we can address gun violence in the United States. Now, I'm going to move to the school because I'm going to give you a prime example that's happened. Something happened recently in the schools locally. And it happened at
I can tell you what happened here today.
Let me finish. One of our co-host school, which is Ms. Lauren D. Smith at her school, they was on lockdown, and they was. And I'm talking about last either Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it was may have been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday may have been. They was on lockdown because a seventh grader brought 9mm to school, and we know our best eyes. And Scarlett, you can agree, our best eyes is not a video camera. It's not that it's our students, because when they see things, they're going, that's the best security system you have, they're going to find a way to tell someone. So they did tell and was arrested because he had a bit of with a gun on there. Actually, he came, what happened was he had it in a backpack. And now they are excited, showing everybody, and then he hid the backpack outside. Went into the school, came out another door to get it, and that's when they was able to apprehend him. Then the next day, the school that's a feeder, this feeder school, which is the one we just mentioned, which is a middle school to the high school, they had another gun situation. So if they're able to be comfortable enough to bring guns to school, we can look at the statistical data on the weekend when men of our citizens are being shot, and not only in large cities, but in smaller places. So we got to address this gun violence, and the thing about it, I have to be honest with you all. It ain't the guns killing people. It's people with guns killing people. And constantly, we got a challenge here. But Scarlett, I just wanted to kind of share that couple moments where they was on lockdown all day at the middle school, on lockdown all day the next day on the high school level because of individuals bringing a gun. But then a young man was asked, why did you bring the 12-year-old? He said, because people were bullying me. See, this is something we received training, and we was always told, don't use the old mentality. And Scholar, you might can relate to that. You know, a child come tell that somebody doing something. You're talking about going on back. Don't be a tattletale. You know, this kind of stuff we got to make sure as people responsible, as parents in these schools, because that's what you are as an educator, as an administrator. You are the local parent because the parent is not there and you are there. We can't tell a child, go come in. I don't want to hear that because this right here, because we have to take every one of them serious, and that's why we push hard with training. We had the situation in that was in Michigan. You know, the young man go in and shoot all his classmates. Scarlett, you could jump in right there.
Yeah, and then the parents fled, you know, left them alone. So now they're all of them been apprehended in the same jail, I think. Today, before it came on the air, the news report here was that, and this is like the third one here recently, one of the Hotsitotsi high schools was online and talked about what he had planned to do today and go in and start shooting up the school. And they were able to, someone, like you said, students told it. And that's how they got him. But that was the plan. And now they feel like there might be a link between not only the high school that he was in, which is kind of like a really one of those, you know, great side of town high schools, you know, where, mm-hmm. You know, you had the bus folks in. So now there might be a link between all the high schools and this particular situation. We'll know more about it tomorrow. But this really could have been catastrophic if there had been a plan to maybe start at a agreed upon time to start shooting up the high schools here. You know, this is scary. This is scary stuff. And fortunately, you know, responsible young adults, high school students reported it. That's what saved it. I'm so glad that we still got a lot of students in this country who will do the right thing and know what the right thing is to do and will report it. Because, like you said, all the surveillance cameras and everything is not going to catch everything. You know,
yes.
You've got to have that word of mouth and somebody willing to come forward and say, this is what's getting ready to happen. This is what we saw online last night on the social media, you know, this type of thing. So thank God that happened, because if there is a link between all these, that high school, and then trying to put key people in other high schools that might have been friendly or friends with somebody of this person, we could have had we'd have been on national news today if that had been carried out. And it's scary stuff. And then they do a report, you know, why the teachers and people are you can't get anybody to come and work, can't even get bus drivers, can't do this and the other. People are not going to put their lives at risk, you know.
Exactly.
And no one's going to send their wife, their daughter, their husband, or their child to school, to come back home in a body bag. You know, nobody is wanting to do that kind of stuff, and we've got to start having some sense and about it. And if the lobbyists are going to continue to try to push having guns, America has more guns than just about anybody on the planet. How many guns do you need to go hunting? How many guns? And if you're going to have all these guns, then you're literally going to have to make sure they're out of the reach of a child. You just got to make sure that happens. I have gone through that personally. One of my teachers was shot and killed about 4 years before I retired. That's a bad feeling. And she was shot and killed by the husband. There was a stepson, and he got angry with his father. And he killed his father without cutting grass, shot him first, and then went inside and shot his stepmother and his stepsisters and walked down the street like as if nothing had happened.
Wow. Wow. Scarlett, let me cut you off right there. Stop, because we have our other co-host from that great state of Florida, by the way of Ohio. A shout-out to...
I want to go back to Ohio.
I want to go to Ohio. To Lisa Levine. Lisa, so glad to have you join us tonight. And
I'm
I wanted to make sure...
So happy.
You all. So glad to have you here. We was just there and talking about... Guns in school, as well as gun violence in our community. And I been down here.
Where are we at? You want my opinion about it?
We have missed you.
I'm going to get, well, I don't know what you were talking about, but if it was this recent episode with this this Rittenhouse situation, I don't know, did you touch on that or?
No,
can I touch on it? I just wanted to say, because I've been very upset and I followed this case, and my take on it is a 17-year-old boy with an AR-15 weapon. I don't know why a 17-year-old boy had that weapon. I don't know what made him think he was a vigilante to go out into the community and to help. He is not law enforcement. He is not trained, and no one asked him to help. And so my biggest concern is, what type of message are we sending that this is acceptable and okay? And I'm sure I'll get backlash for my opinion, because I already have had a couple arguments, but I look at it from a moral. I know the law says it was self-defense, but you cross state lines with intent. That's how I look at it. And it's just showing that it's okay, you know, to do that. And my concern is, are more kids going to, oh, there's this going on, let me go get a gun and intervene? And then you look at this thing in Michigan. Those parents knew what this kid was doing, and yet nothing was done, and people knew. And you have these cases of kids getting a hold of guns, and we're glorifying it almost. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's being glorified, and... You know, I just, when I saw that verdict, I just sat there. I did. I held my head and I cried. I just couldn't believe it. And I hate to be funny, guys, but I know if that was a black male that did that, he would have probably have been charged. And that's my opinion. That's just how I feel. I don't feel that, you know, this crying on the stand and seeking out attention that way, and the mom, like they act like they're the victims. You chose to give your child a weapon, and you chose to drive to another state. Nobody asked you to help. And then when they say, well, he shot a sex offender and he did that, how did he know? You know, no, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And then he's down here. Did you know that? He was down here?
No, he was in South Carolina before he got down there. He was filmed this week.
It's so upsetting.
Filmed this week walking down the sidewalk with the state of South Carolina attorney general. And they'd had lunch together. And they were walking down the street, and I think he had an ice cream cone or something. He was snacking on walking down the street. And the prince saw it and followed them down the street. And that happened this week or late last week. I forgot. But anyway, the film came out, and it was shown in our state capital of Columbia,
awful,
South Carolina. This kid
awful
just being exonerated is glorified walking down the street
right.
with our
glorified.
State Attorney General. And you're right. What message does that send? And is this what we're seeing, Doc? Is the sign of the wealth adults are doing it? You know, hey, I'm going to bring one, too, you know, in here. And somebody bullying me, or if I feel like I'm feeling bullied, hasn't been addressed, I'm going to come in here and just shoot up everybody. You know, and you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's what
word.
It's sending.
Glorified.
That's how I
and
felt.
And when the adults are sanctioning this kind of behavior, what do you think, you know, kids practice and act upon what they see from us?
Exactly.
And you might
let
not want to read that, but as a counselor, that's what they do.
Scarlett, let me add something right here, and I think this could kind of put a cap on everything, and hopefully we can relate to this. With the way society in regards to our young people, we are glorifying in our communities individuals coming out of prison and having barbecues and all that for them. We're having for people coming out of college. So if you want to wrap our minds around that, then looking at having a gun, doing that, being exonerated, we can look at because we are glorifying it in our communities and throughout our country for people and not giving it. Because this past weekend on the 3rd, my youngest daughter graduated. She graduated from college. But see, the thing about it, we're not throwing parties and excited about them, but we're excited about people coming out of the institution. So what I'm saying, we got a lot to deal with. It's not just one situation. We got to do it as a whole. So I really think we need to take time. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I want to make sure I get you on the line by calling out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Ask you to offer your comments, your expertise, as well as any question you have. And you can just chat with Lisa Scarlett and myself. I'm so glad to have an opportunity to do this on America's on the Comeback. We're going to kind of move through our topics because we got about 17 minutes. And I wanted to kind of address this topic we didn't get a chance to talk about in regards to the federal government paying for tuition at 4-year college and university, as well as 2-year college, community college, for those individuals who want to go to college, who wants to pass to a level so they can compete in our job market, in our society. I want your both of y'all thoughts on that.
Yeah, I have
Are people want to go back to work?
Yeah, I have mixed emotions about that. You know, it wasn't easy for any of us who have been through our education careers and post secondary and into college and university, or whatever. It's a financial burden. I'm hoping that we're not giving people the idea that of an entitlement. I can see both sides of this, but I don't think I'm just concerned about whether or not you think it's entitled and that you don't have to really work for anything. A lot, millions of people who did not come from the silver spoons and the mouth families. You know, had to do work study or whatever case it may be and get scholarships and work hard scholastically to get scholarships and things of that nature, you know, to get where they are, you know. And even now, even though the ones with the silver spoons in their mouths, you know, we got people cheating, you know, and hiring people to take the SAT and all these things for them. So our educational system, it needs to go through a real overhaul anyway. Where do we stand with assessing people for college, assessing people for whatever, vocational careers or whatever the case may be? I think there needs to be a real good look at that, but not to the fact where people think that, oh, well, it's entitled, I don't really have to work for it, you know. And to me, I just think you just need to put some sweat equity into things that you want. That's just, you know, how my family raised me and my brother, you know, that you just got to, you know, it's not going to be given to you on a silver platter. You got to work. You got to study. No one's going to take a test for you to cheat to get you in, things of that nature. So, I don't know. I got mixed emotions about it. I think there are a lot of kids that really do need to have that assistance and help. And you may have to go to like a tier system based on the need of the individual, things of that nature that we're supposed to be doing now. But even with that, I just think there needs to be some more thought into that. You know, right now we're getting to, you know, everything is, I'm more concerned about people getting a decent working salary to make a living for their family and to help their kids, too, through, you know, the levels that they need to go through, and also to change the generational wealth of their family where they actually do have something in legacy and they can leave, you know, when they pass. And you don't have to go around and do GoFundMes and things of that nature that we talked about on the show before.
Yeah.
You know, to try to bring somebody. You know, I do believe in building building that. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, it's not easy. Especially if your last name is not Elon Musk. I think it's his first name, too. Elon Musk.
Indeed.
You know, the wealthiest man in the world. So that's just my thoughts. So I got mixed emotions about it. I want to hear more and see how that's going to be crafted. But I just don't believe being entitled.
Okay.
I agree with Scarlett.
Okay.
I agree with Scarlett. And I think you have to, I think you have to go by a readings, you know, see who's where, who needs what and how much. And, you know, yeah, we go back to this whole thing. These kids now are entitled, and I'm hearing parents. Some parents are doing the college work. Not only were they doing the work when we were virtual, and now they're doing the work, and now they're doing the kids' college work. Where is it that we lost sight of a work ethic and working for things and? I mean, I know when I was in college, I went to college and I worked. That was just the way it was. You know, I didn't understand you got tutoring, but no, I think Scarlett's right. I think there is a sense of entitlement. And, you know, look at those things that were going on with those parents, those actors, you know, remember that? I don't know what happened, what the end result was. Remember they got their kids into college. Just because of the name of the college,
they were jail for a little bit, but they're well.
They didn't get,
but they did go to jail a little bit.
I felt they should have had to pay money for the kids that missed out. I felt that they should have been part of their punishment. Is, you know, you got money for this and that, and selling your stuff in Target or whatever it is. It take that money. You know, you hit somebody in the pocketbook like that. I felt that was part of what the punishment should have been, because you took something away from kids that actually wanted it and needed it. That was my feeling on it.
Okay.
And sometimes I think it's like a joke.
Somebody, I started to report somebody on my staff who actually did her daughter's was going for a nursing degree. She sat there at lunchtime every single day for I don't know how many years doing that child's work. And I told somebody, y'all, if I fall out in this school, do not have this girl working on me. I know, you know, because she's not prepared. Mama
right.
did the work.
Okay. All right, let me jump in right here, because I think
I
wanted to make sure we exactly what the question was. Is should the federal government pay for tuition at four-year college, two-year college, universities, and now we're talking about already going to college or going to college. My difference is that I know that it would be a great help for my daughters. It would have been a great help for my sons, because they went to college. You know, they weren't entitled. They had to work. And that's why I think I want to make sure we get on the same page that we should the federal government have money. We have money for everything else. And I just think that we can help because right now, personally, as I just stated, my youngest daughter just graduated from Alabama State University. And nobody gave her, it came from us, and either was parent plus loans. It's over $300,000 that she owe right now, or I owe right now. So that's why I brought it up. And I think we just, that's why I wanted to focus on it. They, not these people that are getting something just to go, they're going to school. But yeah. Would it help?
It would help, but it's not.
Money available. Mm-hmm. Instead of putting money some other places we're putting, I'm just saying that would help them to go complete a degree and be an opportunity to use that skill, whatever they have, to improve our society. So we got many of people.
I think you're asking two different questions, though, Doc. You're asking two different questions. What I hear you saying is loan forgiveness. And I do think that, now that I do agree with. I think that all these colleges and universities who spike their tuition, for number one, let me just be straight up. I got a problem with paying coaches $10 million. Okay? And then where to get the money from? All these athletic departments in this country don't have money to pay a coach that kind of money. When you got the teachers, professors, and all these people not making anywhere near that. And then the tuition goes up to pay for all these sports programs. And I love sports. I'm big in sports. And I believe the oppression should be paid. But when you start talking about millions and millions of dollars, but yet still you're hitting the parents and the child with these tuition increases, I got a problem with that. Now, do I think that there needs to be a better structure on tuition and stuff in these schools and colleges? Yes. You know, because when you start now, these college professors are writing these textbooks and stuff and charging, you know, all this money for a textbook. And I'm going like, is the textbook gold-plated? You know, that don't make no kind of sense.
I know, it's expensive.
And so most of the time, you can't even get the hard-top book. You know, you get it online, and you're still paying hundreds of dollars for a textbook. That doesn't make any kind of sense. So I think the whole thing needs to be looked at. But I do think that these loans that students have to take, in order just to stay in school and to graduate, forgiven. And I think that a lot of it should be, that part should be struck down because you can't even get out of school and buy a house, a car, or anything for trying to pay your loans back.
That's the answer. But what I want you to see, what you're saying is something, that's what the federal government can do. So let's count.
Yes,
we got
that
seven.
That I agree with, yes, that I do.
So I want to move it. And one more question we want to address because that was a couple things that we didn't get a chance because didn't have you on because of the communication. In regards to some political issues, and I'm going to move to the political issue, that regarding the lawsuits that are being filed over the congressional and legislative district, I want to get your thoughts on that and ask how will it affect African Americans in regards to those lawsuits and how will it benefit or will it not benefit? Just your thoughts on it. We've got 7 minutes, so we want to make sure we get
say that question. I missed the beginning part. What was the beginning question?
We want to discuss the lawsuits. How there's been certain states' lawsuits have been filed over the new congressional and legislative district based on the censor 2020, and then was just how will it affect African Americans or individuals?
Well, we're gonna be screwed. I mean, you know, that's the purpose of it. You know, that's why they're doing all this gerrymandering and changing these congressional districts because they're a minority and they cannot win if there's a huge minority turnout to come and vote. That's the reason for all this stuff. So yeah, it's designed to affect us. This is another form of Jim Crow. It's just Jim Crow steroids. We've seen this picture before, Doc. We've lived through this. Our parents and grandparents lived through this. This is what it's all about. They don't want us to vote. And often we fall into that trap of not doing it if it's not a presidential election. We got to vote like we never voted before. And this is for anybody of goodwill, regardless of your color, ethnicity, or whatever. You care about this country and democracy and about your right as a citizen of this country to vote, then you need to be voting in 2022.
Okay. Lisa, you want to share your thoughts?
I agree. I don't think the system is right. Yeah, I don't think it's
Shout out to our sponsors. We have some sponsors. We got to give a shout out to that. We really appreciate them being a part of this. And this is we have a shot. It's Soap Tea and Moore's Tasty Food. We'll be giving Christmas breakfast to the homeless and the people in the community at the Salvation Army, located at 900 Maxwell Boulevard in Montgomery, Alabama. They're also donating toys to children. So they're asking all those individuals who want to. You can
Dr.
call
Lowe, do you need any donations? Do you need donations? Because of my program.
334-6002. Let me say it again. 334-6002. If you want to make a donation through Cash App, you can donate it to $ Desmond Mom. That's DesmondMom. If you want to make a donation, and this is an awesome thing, this will be happening on Christmas Day. They're going to feed the homeless and the community on Christmas
That's
Day.
Wonderful.
And it's from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. So that's a shout out. We got one more we got to give a shout out to. We can give a shout out to our sponsors with Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10, which is Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. They'll be delivering to needy families bikes to the young people, to the children.
Wow.
And they're going to be giving away bikes. And that's going to be done on the 22nd.
Nice.
It will be done in Butler County, which is Greenville, Alabama, Georgiana, Alabama, McKenzie, Alabama, Pigeon Creek, Alabama, and Forest Home, Alabama. They will be selecting families to donate those bikes to those children in need. And the bikes are for the smaller kids because they are 20-inch and below. So we're going to give a shout-out to Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Now, if you want to donate to the cause, you can donate to just call for more information to see how you can donate. Call 334-549-0950. Again, 334-549-0950. So we want to give a shout-out to those brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity for trying to make Christmas as awesome for some young person in Butler County. So we'll give a shout out to Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. So we, you know, that's what it's about. This is all about. Okay, we had our closing remark. We can do it right now because we're going to close it down and give a shout out to all these awesome people who are checking us out tonight. I got to give a shout out to them. Lisa, you can
go ahead and give a shout out. Go ahead and do it because I think Lisa and I, we're through. It's been an awesome show.
I just want to say something, really. Just want to quickly say, I'm burnt out. Like, I think I've been telling you guys, and I, you know, try to be very positive, and I'm trying to, but I'll tell you guys, I am scared for some people, and some of the things I'm seeing is scary to me, and I just feel like this, and I've been saying this to people. You got a roof over your head? Yeah. You got dirty clothes to put in a washing machine? Yeah. You got food to cook on a stove? Yeah, you got a stove. Be grateful for the little things or the big things that you do have, because look at how far we've come. We can get through all this. I know times are tough, but it doesn't help with belligerence and anger and you know, I feel like as a clinician, and I've talked a lot more with colleagues, or we text, actually none of us can really talk, but I feel like we're first responders and we're getting the brunt of a lot of this, and we're trying to all just be supportive. So guys, as a society, as a community, do whatever you can to try to work together. It takes a village. But try to look at the good stuff that's going on and try to give back. Random acts of kindness, give back, make a donation, check on people. This is something I don't know. Some of us don't have answers anymore. But I can say just try. I know the holidays are coming, and keep yourselves protected. Use your coping skills. If it's too much to be out and about or be with family, keep your boundaries. You know, just know you have choices in life, and day by day, just one day at a time, things are getting a little bit better, I feel, right, from where we were last year. You know, I look back on where we were and what we were talking about last year. So my hope is for peace for everybody this holiday season, and those are my closing remarks.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Gratitude. It's all about gratitude.
We're coming back. That's the theme of the show. We're coming back. We're on the upswing, and I feel it.
Okay.
We just
got to be
here and hang in there.
Exactly. That's what it is. We want to give a shout-out to Ms. Bush, EBS, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated out of the state of Georgia. Trade underscore with underscore Patricia underscore Roberts 8900, Michelle 329, Angela Dot Pole, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Give a shout out to Allison Rouse, Carol Davis, Regina Hill, Robert Ball, Shanice Ham Leonard, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. A shout out to the board. Want to act up, but we'll make sure we get it back up running. Anthony Rudolph, now excuse me, I'm trying to get my board back up. Anthony Rudolph. Also a shout out to A. Yolanda, 1920. So we know what that is. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. A shout out to each and every one of those individuals joining us tonight. We want to thank you for joining us, Lisa, as well as Scarlett. We had an awesome time talking about some powerful topics, and we appreciate you joining us. And we want to always get a shout out, and Scarlett always do, the Divine Nine, for taking time to be a part of this.
Yeah.
We'll be back here at 1 o'clock. We have the Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood that's coming at you. We're going to talk about a few things of importance, and it's Why Men Matter. That's the title of the show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then on Wednesday night, we'll have an awesome time talking about some sports. We're going to share some things about historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. And the time for that show is 7:30 on Wednesday night. And each of these times I'm calling out is Central Standard Time. So if you're on the East Coast, you know how to add the hours. If you're on the West Coast, you know how to take away 2 hours and make it do what it do. It's been awesome being here tonight. Team, I appreciate you all taking time to be a part of this. And you see, God is so good. He has blessed us. Lisa said something so important. Last year this time, we was really, really at some challenging points. We'll begin to see the end of the tunnel. But I want you to understand we can completely see light if we continue to practice the health protocol. Let's not forget about we're still in a crisis because we have a new variant, which is called Omicron. And we still have the Delta. So you have both of them operating. Make sure you wear your mask. Make sure you stay at home. Make truly true you stay 6 feet away. 6 feet away. Make sure you truly, truly wash your hands. And finally, but so important, make sure you get vaccinated. And if you had the point to get a booster shot, let's do that. Let's stamp out this situation. Let's look to see in 22 that we can move forward and get some sense of normalcy. I didn't say go back, because you can't go back, but we want a sense of new normalcy coming in 2022. It's been awesome. God has been so good one more time. He has blessed us. He blessed us to come before you and share some thoughts. Our title tonight, Marathon the Comeback Part 3, and it's on the comeback. Things happening, but it's going to take everybody to be a part of this. God is so good. He has blessed us. I thank you so much, Lisa. I thank you so much. I'm saying again, Scarlett, because I truly thank you all for taking time. It's all about, and I have to tell you all this, because it's all about this. I can't see you. All I can do is talk to you. So I'm going to tell you truly from my heart, I love you because y'all are some awesome people. And if I was close to you, I'd give you a hug. And that's what it's all about. I want you to do the same thing for your family members, your friends, your significant other, your spouse. If you can't do it face-to-face, do it virtually. Because it's important that we tell each other that we love each other. Because we need it through these challenging times. Hashtag responsible. Hashtag one life matter. Hashtag it's a mindset. See, it's all about a mindset. Some people say a state of mind. Hashtag keep on grinding. That's what we are going to do. We're going to keep on grinding. And as we get ready to close it out, like always, we're in the Christmas season. While the holiday season is Christmas time, whatever you have planned, make sure you take time to spend time with your family. Take time to love on each other, because that's what we need to do during the trying time. We talked about gun violence. We talked about guns in school. We talked about individuals dealing with a situation where life been taken. We're talking about judicial decision. All of that's going on, but just take time to go back to what we talk about all the time, block by block. Go back to the neighborhood. It's all about your family. And as we close out, we'll talk with you tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Block Lowe's neighborhood, and then on Wednesday night at 7:30. Ladies, thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you for joining us. And it's all about this, and I keep telling people, it's strictly from my heart when I talk and say this. Someone told me the other day I was going to pick up some bikes to present to our young people, and they was telling me, said, what do you normally tell people at the end of your show? Because it means a whole lot to everybody, and that is, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the night, and it's an amen moment.
Amen. 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 Didn't see her coming. Hell, it's like I've been running. Mind playing tricks on me. Is she one love for me? If I had to testify, I could only say she's the truth. It's like prayers went up and sent me you. Now I wasn't looking, I was fine on my own. Could probably go as I please, nobody questioning me. I don't know if they began to change. You came and turned all around, got me saying amen. From the bed to the snow, from the...